In France, the revolution in France in 1789 was a much more violent affair. It will be remembered that in the American Revolution was engendered by English speaking people who already belonged to a variety of versions of Protestantism primarily. So they were very eager each to have their own freedom to practice and no one of them assume dominance. France was Catholic. And the movement of revolution in France had a much more unified form of opposition. So the French Revolution, which took its stand upon certain principles, liberté, égalité, fraternité, brotherhood, liberty, equality, which themselves almost became religious in character, really sought not a separation of church and state, but the overthrow of the church in the name of a secular state. And in France, there was a much tenser kind of relationship between a stubborn Catholicism and a more violent and reactionary form of secularism, which really has continued for a very long time. Finally, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia took its stand on an even more radical position, which is the repudiation of all religion. Obviously, the Bolshevik Revolution is led by Lenin, who was a disciple of Karl Marx. And Karl Marx began his philosophical works by following Ludwig Feuerbach, by declaring that all religious belief is simply projection, is simply a form of alienation. There is no divine power. There is no transcendence. It is simply, if you will, wish fulfillment on the part of humans. And so Karl Marx, before beginning the critique of capital and the critique of economics, assumes that one must begin with the critique of religion. Now he says that we've left religion behind and shown that religion is an alienation of humans which promises them pie in the sky by and by, but keeps them from recognizing their true human condition. Now we need to look at economic structures and how people are separated from the fruits of their own labor and the vision then of a classless society. All of this was precisely what Lenin tried to impose through the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. So the first step is to get rid of the Tsar and the Russian Orthodox Church, to take over all of the church buildings as museums of the state, and to actively try to eradicate Christianity through a very long process of social pressure and of the education of the young who are schooled in atheism. As a result of these cataclysmic political changes, Christians today struggle to come to grips with the reversal in its political fortunes. Some Christians, remarkably, still consider the Constantinian arrangement the ideal and long for an assertion of Christian political power and a Christian culture. As recently as the 1960s, it was possible to find Spanish Catholic theologians arguing that religious tolerance is against Catholic teaching. To be Catholic means to be intolerant of other traditions. And in the United States, among evangelical Christians, we find movements such as the Christian Coalition, which has among its goals the establishment of genuine Christian values that are explicitly supported by political means. Other Christians, in contrast, rejoice in the separation of religion from political power and see it as an opportunity, a chance for Christianity to recover some of the essential dimensions of this religion that its long political history tended to obscure. They hope that Christianity can recover some of its original countercultural posture and be less compromised by political power.